I always enjoy a break from the normal. And Laura, thank you, and Nellie for playing for us. And the girls are in the back, I take it. It is so cool to watch Molly and Gracie. Last school year, I went to the recital where Molly was playing in the violin, and she was just starting. And I tell you, where she is right now, there were some that had been in this thing for 4, 5, and 6 years who were not playing as well as Molly is. And I look for good things from both those young girls as they continue to grow. It's so good to have you. A couple things I'd like to do before we get started. First of all, I got word today that Tom Vetter's father passed away this past week. And I do not know any details at all. In fact, I did not know he had passed away until this morning. So does anybody know any details as when it was or... Okay. Well, if you get a chance, if you see Tom, express your sympathies to him, if you would. You know, we often celebrate a lot of different things, but there is one man here. I'm going to totally embarrass him. He's probably never going to speak to me again after today. But there is a man here who has been worshiping with us for, well, several months now. He celebrated 42 years of retirement this past Friday at Smithville, and I know that you are gonna not like me at all, but Gary Raper celebrated 42 years of retirement. Friday was his last day at Smithville. I think he deserves a hand, don't you? 42 years. He was telling me that he went in on, you know, Friday was that snowstorm, and he went into work anyway, and they took him out to eat, and someone gave him a fishing pole. I said, well, now we know what he's going to do for a while, and Nancy says, well, she's the one that encourages the fishing pole. Gary actually is a model railroader, and we had supper together a couple of weeks ago, and I'm excited to see now that he has the time. Because I'm kind of fascinated by that anyway. congratulations, Gary, on 42 years. And so glad that you are able to celebrate that. A couple other things, if you don't mind. Next week is the last Sunday of the month, of the year, actually. And so we're going to be kind of finishing up this series today, and next week I'll be presenting something to you, but I'm going to mention it to you now. During the month of January, and I was supposed to have done this last week, and I did not have this, we're going to observe, ask you to help us. We're going to observe a month of fasting, not asking you to fast for 30 days or 31 days. But actually, this is a calendar. I'm going to ask you to just choose one day where you might choose to help out. Now, fasting does not mean just food. You could say, I'm going to fast for one meal. If you are a diabetic, I don't encourage you to miss a meal. Frankly, you can't do that. But you can fast from TV. You can fast from the media. You can put your phone away. But basically what it is instead of doing something else, you spend some time praying. And so this calendar is going to be on the back table back there. And I'm going to mention a little bit more next week. We're going to have a guide for you during that time. And you may choose just to miss one meal. That's okay. But we'd like you to put your name in the day in which you will observe it. I like to fill the whole month. And so if you'd like to help out with that, we'll tell you a little bit more next week during the message, as well as we'll have a guide for you during that time of things to pray for, because I know some of you are saying, well, what do I pray for? And so we're going to encourage you to do that next week. And also, beginning the second Sunday of January, we'll start some small groups that we'll meet every other week through the month of January and February. A new series I'm preaching on is Beliefs Under Construction, and the every other week study will be actually looking at 2 weeks of messages in a small group. So I'd like to encourage you, if you would like to be involved in a small group, there's a sign-up sheet back there. If you'd like to host it, just put down there, I will host. and we'll get a hold of you. All right, now, if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's a, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the third book in the New Testament. And this is a story that all of us have probably heard at one time or another in our lives, but I'm going to read it anyway. I don't think it hurts to do that. And then I will pray, and then we'll begin. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration once Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Would you join me in prayer, please, as we begin? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to see what it has to say to us. I thank you for this time of celebration and for the opportunity to watch different ways of honoring you and different ways of celebrating your birth. Thank you for Laura and Nellie and her the growing talent that is there. Thank you for Molly and Gracie and for the opportunity to watch them to grow. And we pray that their willingness to serve you will only grow. And I thank you, Father, for that which we will hear and for the desire to serve you no matter the age. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this story that most of us have probably heard since we were little children. But I pray that just for a moment you might help us to see some new things that are here. As we talk about Christmas and about the gifts that can be given, help us each to take a look within our own hearts and within our own lives and see if we have those gifts and if we can pass them along. I thank you for everybody here, for them taking a few moments out of their busy day and their busy week just to be here with us and with you. And Father, I pray for Tom and ask that you might be a comfort to he and his family. I pray for those on our prayer list who need your touch in a special way. I pray for those this time of the year who are grieving, maybe the loss of somebody many years ago, maybe even just recently, and they're lonely, and they suffer through this time of the year. Would you just be real to them and help them to deal with the emptiness they feel? And I pray, Lord, that as we study this passage today, as we study your word, that you might help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Officially, Christmas is Tuesday. But unless I miss my guess, many of you have been celebrating Christmas for probably days, maybe even weeks already. You've had office parties. You've had traveling. You have had Advent calendars. Some of you have had lunches with friends and you've exchanged gifts. Some of you have had white elephant gifts, parties. You know what those are, where you exchange goofy gifts, you know. One time, one Christmas, I had a white elephant. A guy gave me a set of electric earmuffs. He had earmuffs, put a wire to it with a plug at the end of it. Now, what am I supposed to do with those? But, you know, that's what a white elephant gift is all about. Every Christmas, the one question that is usually asked, especially of kids, is, did you get everything that you wanted? And over the years, you know, if you look back, you will see that every Christmas there is that have-to-have toy. You know, Cabbage Patch dolls, G.I. Joes, Pound Puppies, the Avengers. This year, one of the big things is Beyblades. I didn't know what they are. I got a grandson who wants them, so I'm just kind of, you know, okay, Joe can get it. I have no clue what it is. But every Christmas, we have that can't-miss gift. But every Christmas, someone, somewhere is going to ask you, did you get what you wanted? I read a story, a little joke about a boy named Brian. He wanted a watch for Christmas really, really bad. And everywhere his time, his parents turned around, he was always saying, I wanted a watch, want a watch, want a watch. And finally, his dad got so frustrated, said, Brian, if you don't quit talking about wanting a watch, you're not going to get it. So for a couple days, Brian didn't say a word. And then one evening, they asked him to pray before the dinner meal. So he said, before I pray, I'd like to quote a scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verse 37, it says, I say unto you what I have already told you before, watch. Yeah, that's pretty good, resourceful use of scripture, I think, and I think he got his point home. I can't tell you whether Brian got a watch or not. Maybe a ring around his neck, I don't know. But every Christmas, we are asked the question, did you get what you want? And that's not going to be any different this Christmas. But I want to admit something to you. I look for the perfect gift. Whenever I give a gift, I just don't go out and just want to buy something. You know, if I'm looking for a gift for Joe, I want to buy something that's meaningful. Even if I give a gift card to somebody, I want it to be meaningful. I want it to be something from my heart to them. So what I'd like to do this morning is I would like to present three gifts to you. I'd like to give you three gifts that I believe that if you could accept these gifts from me, which literally are from God, but if you could accept these gifts, they would revolutionize not only this Christmas, but they would revolutionize December 26th, December 27th, and 2013 and beyond. So let's take a look at the scripture. First of all, the first gift I would like to present to you is I would like to give you and hope that you can find the gift of forgiveness. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angel said to the shepherds, for unto you was born this day for all the people, for unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Another translation puts it this way. Today, your Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. I'd like you to circle that word Savior because that's the key word. He came as our Savior. Now, here's some food for thought. Heaven is a perfect place. How many of you here are perfect? I don't know about you, but I don't have a snowball's chance, and you know where. To get into heaven based on my merit and on my perfection. Because it ain't going to happen. But But if you look at the scripture, Mary was told that her son would be a savior. Joseph was told that he will save his people from their sins. And so what we need to consider is there needs to be an understanding that we are not good enough, we are not perfect enough to get into heaven, so we have to get there on somebody else's coattails. And that person is Jesus. Perhaps you heard the story about the little boy named Norman. Actually, a little boy, he wrote a letter to Santa Claus. He said, there are three of us. He said, Jeffrey is 2, David is 4, Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time, David is good some of the time, Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman. You see, we may chuckle at that, but let's admit it, that you and I sometimes think that we are good enough, but most of the time we have to realize I am not good enough. And there is no way that I am good enough, that I am on my own merits able to get into heaven. And so what I have to rely on is the forgiveness that comes from God. Because you see, our greatest enemy is sin. That's our greatest enemy. And it's a battle that every one of us have lost. And it doesn't matter who you are, we have lost the battle. Mary was told, your child will be the Son of God. Joseph was told that he would save his people from their sins. We are those people. You know, after almost 40 years as an ordained pastor, I have come to the conclusion that the greatest problem many people have after church and walking through life after life, the greatest problem people have is number one, accepting forgiveness from God, and number two, giving forgiveness of other people to other people. There are people saying, but you don't know how bad I've been. I have done stuff that would curl. Well, you don't have any hair, but it would curl your hair. And so they can't accept the fact that God could forgive them for whatever they have done. And then to turn that around, there are some people who just literally cannot forgive other people. And because they live with that in their mind and that in their heart, they can't experience joy. And they can't experience forgiveness. And so people have trouble forgiving and accepting forgiveness from other people. This is a true story. There was a rabbi by the name of Michael Weiser. He had some run-ins with a man named Larry Tapp. Larry was a member of the Nazi Party and a member of the KKK. He made life miserable, as you can imagine, for a rabbi. In fact, the rabbi's family were so scared they would lock their doors during the day. They were afraid to go out at night. But he decided that he was no longer going to live in fear, and so he called Larry and left a message on his machine, and he tried to tell him that there was a better life than the life of hatred, and that there was a life that was free of hatred and ugliness. Larry was so moved by that call on his answering machine that he began to do some thinking and began to work on him until finally one day he called the rabbi up and he says, I need to talk. I need to get out of here. And so his family grabbed a bucket of chicken, went over to Larry's house. They went somewhere else and began to talk. And then finally Larry turned over his Nazi rings, his KKK robe, and some of the hate literature. Then he went home, and he got rid of everything else that he had there. And his words were this. He says, I could hate him, but I could not hate the man who showed love to me. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about the ability not only to accept forgiveness from God, but the ability then to turn around and forgive someone who has hurt you. I pray that your gift this Christmas will not only be forgiveness from God, but that you in turn will be able to forgive others. There's a second gift I think that we all need to have, and I pray for you, and that is that you might find peace of mind. In Scripture verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Those who love your teachings will find true peace." You know, peace is a word that we talk a lot about, don't we? We love to have peace on earth. Whoa. We would love to have peace. Oh, is that you? Oh, okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one who uses my hands. Yeah. We talk a lot about peace. You know, we talk about peace on earth, and we would love to have peace. Our world was shattered on 9/11. Suddenly, this world that we seem to have had so much of a security in was shattered. But you know, there are people who live lives every day searching for peace, and they're not going to find it. Let me give you some examples. There will be people who will think that peace is found in a bottle, and that they will drink themselves silly and drink themselves numb. But when it wears off, it's still there. There will be people who will think that peace will be found in a snort or a smoke. But literally, folks, it's just a pipe dream that they're going to find peace in that. There'll be people who think that they will find peace hopping from relationship to relationship and bed to bed. They won't find peace there. There'll be people who will think that peace is found in working their fingers to the bone, and they work so hard that finally at the end of the day they fall into bed and they're so exhausted they go to sleep only to get up the next day and work their fingers to the bone again, and they think that's where peace is. There are going to be people who will think that peace is found in something religious. You say, wait a second here, you're a preacher, and you're saying, yeah, in something religious. Because you see, there are people who are chasing religion all the time. And then there are going to be people who will be thinking that peace is found in the absence of war and strife. It's not. I have sad news and I have good news. Which do you want first? Let me give you the sad news first. The sad news is none of that will give peace. None of that will give peace. The good news is I know the person who can give you peace. His name is Jesus. And he has said, no matter what you're going through, I will give you peace. Let me show you how that works. Peace comes in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Peace comes in knowing that God will never leave you alone. Peace comes in knowing that no matter what 2013 brings and beyond, that God's still in control. And peace comes when you're living by God's word. And because of that, you're avoiding the hurts and the aches and the heartaches that living outside of his word can bring. Peace comes when you realize that there are three peace robbers that you can avoid. Number one is guilt. Do you remember an Etch-a-Sketch? You ever had an Etch-a-Sketch? Those things were fun, but they were maddening. You know, because you think you were a good artist. You ever try to do a straight line on one of them things? And then when you're trying to do a straight line, you think, oh, I need to curve this. And so you try to curve it, and it doesn't curve like you want it to. You want to write your name, and Your name's got a lot of curves in it, like Bill. How do you do that? What the good thing was about Etch a Sketch is what? When you messed up, you shook it, and you had a clean slate, and you started all over. That's what God does for us. He takes all the things that we mess up, and he shakes it, and he says, start all over. And that includes the guilt that we carry. There's a second thing that he does for us that we need to get rid of, and that is grief. There are people right now, this time of the year, this is the hardest time for them. Because they are experiencing a loss somewhere. And so whenever the holidays come, it's like part of them is wrenched out again, and it brings it all back. Let me challenge you. If you know somebody like that, reach out to them. And there's a third peace robber, and that is grudges. I'm going to put it in as simple words as I can. Grudges are extra baggage. And I don't know about you, but I carry enough baggages on its own without me carrying more. Let go. Let go. And you'll find peace. But there's a third gift I hope you'll find. And that's eternal life. I hope you'll find eternal life. Verses 10 and 11, we've already read those. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now to verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. Do you remember what the name Jesus means? God saves. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus means God saves. And more than anything else, in all the hubbub that's going on right now, I pray that you will understand. And I'm going to say this, and I hope people don't mistake it. I don't like the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. I know some of you already know that. I'm going to tell you why. Jesus is not the reason for the season. We are. He is the meaning to the season. And here's what I mean. There's an old song, and some of you will remember this from years ago. It's sung usually at Easter time. We are the reason he gave his life. We are the reason he suffered and died. You see, Jesus came to earth not because he needed to. He knew we needed him. That's why he came. Because you see, he knew two things. Number one, we're all going to die. The ratio is what? 1 out of 1. But he also knew the second thing, and I know you think this is morbid, but please hang in there with me. The other thing is this, we're going to spend more time on that side than we are on this side. You know why? That's eternity. And I'm 60 years old. That's minor compared to eternity. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus came for you. We are the reason he came down here. He came to give this whole time meaning. He came to give our lives meaning. Because he saw us wandering around, as the Bible says, like a sheep without a shepherd. And he came to give us life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Look at this verse. God made us ready for heaven. We put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. The man who finds life will find it through trusting God. That's where it all comes down to. You see, we are the reason Jesus came. And eternal life is yours for the taking. It's called salvation. But we aren't just saved from hell. We are saved for eternity in heaven. That sounds a whole lot better, doesn't it? I am not saved just from hell. I am saved for eternity in heaven. And so are you. God clears up our past. He takes the Etch-A-Sketch and cleans it out. He presents us and spends us and takes care of the present, and then he has planned for the future. Christmas is a celebration of an invasion. Let me put it this way, and I hope you don't think that this is being disrespectful. If God had wanted to communicate with the cows, he would have come as a cow. If he had wanted to communicate with the dogs and the cats, he'd have come as a dog or a cat. How did he come? As a baby. Because he wanted to communicate with us. And he said, you are worth it. But you can't do it on your own, so I'm going to come as a baby, and I'm going to live 33 years on the earth. But I'm going to come because of you. I hope that this Christmas season that you will find forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness of your sins, but also the freedom to forgive others. I hope you will find eternal life, and I hope that you will find peace of mind. Those are the best gifts that I could give to you this morning. Now, you might say, give me a gift card instead. It won't work. This is the best gift I can give you, is to pray that you will find these three things. On 9/11, we all know the story. Two planes went into the Twin Towers. One plane went into the Pentagon. One plane went into a field in Pennsylvania. They say it was probably headed to the White House. But I think we all know the story of why it went down in the field in Pennsylvania instead of hitting a building. But many of us don't know that those who were on that plane made phone calls home. When they made those phone calls home, they said, something is happening. We are going to do something. And then they said three words to their relatives. You know what those three words were? I love you. They didn't say, get revenge. They didn't say, get even for me. They didn't say, blow them up. They said three words because, you see, they knew the three words that mattered the most were, I love you. And I don't know where you're going to be after today. But I want you to know that when God became man, he came because of three words. What were they? I love you. And because he loves you, he offers you those same three gifts that I've just offered to you. Forgiveness, peace of mind, and eternal life. Greatest gifts you could get this Christmas. So I hope that on Christmas morning or the next day when they say, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? You can say, yep. I got the three things that matter the most. Forgiveness, peace of mind, and eternal life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the story of the birth of Jesus, for its simplicity, but it's also its magnificence. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. The Bible tells us that he had everything in heaven, and yet he gave it all up to take on the form of a man, to take on the form of a baby. And we thank you for that. I thank you that the three words we talked about at the very end were words that describe what you have done, is I love you. And I pray that every person in this room will understand the magnitude of the love of God and the magnificence of the love of God. That you take our crummy, messed up lives, you shake them up, You give us a clean slate and said, here, start all over. And I pray that everybody in this room has done that. If not, Father, I pray that they will decide that they need Jesus. And it may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be down the road. But I pray that you will continue to work on their hearts until they say yes to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time of the year, the special meaning that's behind it. Thank you that we were the reason and Jesus is the meaning. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship team comes up to, Brett and Beth. Yes. Brett and Beth are going to sing for us. And the song you will recognize. And just listen to the words. I think you'll be moved by them.